This is an ABC podcast.
Hello, I'm physician and journalist Dr. Norman Swan, and this is CoronaCast, a podcast all about the novel coronavirus.
I'm health reporter Tegan Taylor, and it's Tuesday, the 19th of May. So, Norman, as restrictions are starting to lift, we're getting heaps of questions about safe environments and social distancing. It's a little bit like going back to the sort of questions that we were talking about before we went into isolation a few months ago. So let's take a couple of those questions. We've got someone asking about public transport. So they're wondering whether COVID-19 can be spread through the air conditioning on public transport, specifically the Sydney trains? And what about the air conditioning in places like hospitals and aged care centres?
The evidence that seems to be emerging is that when you breathe out and in, if you've got COVID-19, you're breathing out viral particles. The more virus you've got, the more viral particles you breathe out. If you cough or sneeze, you're expelling a lot of viral particles in terms of infecting other people. But in the course of normal breathing, it's a certain number. It's not that high, but it's there. Just even the act of speaking increases the number of viral particles you put out. So this is all about time of exposure, which starts to become as important as your social distancing. There is evidence for social distancing, the 2 meters, and it has worked for us. But it's not a magic number and doesn't get you out of jail, so to speak, here. So let's take public transport, for example. If you're coming from the outer suburbs of one of our big cities into the city centre or reverse, you could be on a train for an hour or an hour and a half. And even if you, it's a lightly populated carriage or bus, if you're in that environment for an hour and a half, 2 meters might not make any difference because you've got an hour and a half to actually breathe in somebody else's viral particles. So social distancing may not make a big difference if you're in for a long period of time. If you're going from inner city to the city centre and you're only on the train or the bus for 15 minutes, then social distancing probably is quite important because you're closer to somebody and you could breathe in viral particles. What I'm saying is, if you're unlucky enough to have somebody in the compartment with you, the longer you're in that environment, the less important social distancing is and the more important time is. So protecting yourself becomes really important. So this applies to offices as well. So as you come back to offices, people are going to social distance, they're going to wash their hands, and this is all really important stuff. But if you're in an office environment where there's one or two people with COVID-19, if you should be unlucky, then just them breathing in and out and talking to other people could indeed spread the virus and circulate through the air so that you catch it. If it's well ventilated, that's another matter. Well, maybe less so, but it depends on where the ventilation goes. And it goes for restaurants as well. So there've been examples in restaurants where not very many people in the restaurant, socially distanced, but by the way the airflow went, there'd be somebody at a relatively distant table from yours, and people at your table catch the COVID-19 because you're actually in the airflow of that other table. Really hard things to control for.
Is that something that was studied in COVID-19?
Yes, there have been reports now there are more and more reports, particularly from the United States, as they've done outbreak investigation, where they've tracked how people have actually caught the infection. And there is one report of people in restaurant picking it up, and they've been downstream in terms of the air ventilation of other people. So the point here is 2 meters is a good thing to do. We're not arguing that you should break that rule, but don't think that you are necessarily safe because you are keeping that 2 meters distance. It makes it really important that if you've got any symptoms at all, you don't turn up at work till you know that you're COVID-19 negative. You cannot assume that any indoor environment is that safe.
This question asked about hospitals and aged care centres and the air conditioning. Surely those sorts of places have measures in place to stop the air conditioning transmitting, sort of circulating the virus around.
So it depends which part of a hospital you're in. For example, if you're in an operating theatre, the air conditioning is designed to force air out. So it's a higher pressure system. And so the air in the system gets sucked out, and they also have filters on it. But that's not true of the whole hospital, and depends on the age of the hospital system. So I'm not an expert in the air conditioning there. With residential aged care, then it may be that you've got some circulation there. But I'm not aware of reports from air conditioning. I think on cruise ships, it's mostly been, the assumption is that it's from close contact with other people. You're by the buffet and you're cheek by jowl with other people and you're catching it there, or from surfaces. And that brings us to public transport. And so public transport, so you're sending your child to school, public transport is an area where social distancing is very hard. And as I've just said, even if there is social distancing, if you're on the train or the bus for an hour and a half, that doesn't necessarily protect you. And I personally think that if you're worried as a parent or worried yourself, you should wear a mask of some kind, both to protect yourself and to protect others. Now that we're less concerned about the supply of masks for the healthcare system, public transport may well be a place where you do say, well, you know, just to be safe, wear masks because it will reduce the risk. So here's a question for you, Tegan.
Yes.
People are asking, you know, asking us again where our podcast logo comes from. They're also asking, is it true that no scientist has yet physically isolated an actual COVID-19 virus that can be viewed under a powerful enough microscope? You know, what's the story here in terms of visualizing this virus?
It is not true that no scientist has physically isolated an actual COVID or SARS-CoV-2 virus to view it under a microscope. In fact, many have, including here in Australia. And it's interesting because the Coronacast podcast logo really is, it's an artist's impression, but it's quite a true artist's impression of the actual SARS-CoV-2 virus, which is a little spherical virus particle with pointy bits coming off the side of it. So scientists as early as January or early February here in Australia were looking at viral particles of SARS-CoV-2 with a type of microscope called a transmission electron microscope, which gives you a 2D rendering of the virus sort of against a background, and they colorize it so that it's easier to see, which is where we get our very sexy looking Coronacast podcast logo with the red virus and the orange background. It's not really red and orange in real life. And then there's other types of microscopy that can be done to see it from different perspectives that gives us a bit more of a 3D look. And one type is a scanning electron microscope. And I haven't done it, but scientists have, to sort of visualize many viral particles on a human cell. So we actually have quite detailed visualizations. And of course, scientists have also been able to sequence the very genome of the virus. So I'm not sure where that claim came from, but it's definitely incorrect.
And those spikes you see around there are the ways that the virus gets into the cell and are what vaccines are aimed at.
So, Norman, let's talk about a bit of research. At the beginning of the pandemic, there was a lot of talk about just getting people immune, this assumption that if you got COVID-19, then you'd be immune to it. And then we started to hear some concerns that perhaps people weren't necessarily immune because other coronaviruses don't generate lifelong immunity. So maybe it wasn't a given. But we've got some new research in the journal Cell that's got some reassuring news for us.
Yes, basically, and very briefly, they've looked at the cellular response, which is, if you like, can be a fairly non-specific response. This is like sending the soldiers in, the physical soldiers in, and the antibody response, which are the chemicals that attach themselves to the virus to trigger the cells to come in and attack and kill the virus. Looking at both of those things, and in fact, what they find is that just about everybody, in fact, I think everybody that they looked at who'd been infected with SARS-CoV-2 did in fact make antibodies and T cells to the virus, which is great, and that the response that they got did kill the virus. So in other words, it wasn't weak, pathetic little antibodies. They actually were effective ones that get the virus.
So now that we know that there's a link between having the virus and actually getting some antibodies, what does that mean for the quest for a vaccine or herd immunity?
Well, it's great news because it means, in terms of natural immunity, it means that for however long those antibodies and T cells sit there in your body and remember to have a memory of the virus, that you will be relatively immune. So that's good for natural immunity. And for a vaccine, it's great news because it suggests that you can induce a significant antibody response and it's specific for the virus. So both are good news.
We don't have a lot of good news these days. That's great. Before we go today, we're really excited to let you know that the award-winning ABC show, The Pineapple Project, is back for its fifth season. And Norman, this time, it's looking at the C word.
Yes, now the C word, control yourselves now, Coronacast listeners, is not coronavirus or COVID-19, but rather connection and how we come together in this time of isolation. Really important. And connection is what we've got to rediscover safely as time goes on.
Well, Jan Fran's gone on a mission to rediscover it. She's gone on a mission from her bedroom to find out how we can feel just a little bit less lonely.
You can find The Pineapple Project in the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye till then.